Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett coming at you on a surprisingly busy Tuesday news day, because Kentucky, they've got a new vacancy on the coaching staff. Steve Klingscale is leaving Lexington to join Jim Harbaugh's staff at Michigan. I brushed it off a little bit on Friday, Luckett, egg on my face. I was wrong. Not the first time, won't be the last time.
Yeah, I think we could get into why it happened. I think
No need to BS around the bush.
Yeah, I think Steve Klingscale is probably at the point in his career where he's been here, 5 years. He came in the same time as Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw. So he's been here a long time. Yep. And there's
a long time for assistant coaches.
And there's kind of a hard ceiling for him at Kentucky right now. Because you kind of look in the transgression of a or the transition of an assistant coach to be that defensive coordinator, then be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Brad White's a young DC. If he gets a head coaching job, John Summerall's got the assistant head coaching job right now. So he might be our assistant defensive coordinator, whatever his new job title is.
Yeah.
He's
pretty much solidified his spot.
Yeah. He might be the next man in line. And so, it may have been a money type thing. He might have wanted to make more money, this or that, but I think he was at a point in his career where it was probably time for him to move, just to help him get a spark, I guess, in his career. And the Michigan move makes sense for him because of the pipeline he's built and the relationships he's built in the Detroit metro area. Michigan, right now, their new staff, they just hired a high school coach from Detroit. They're bringing in Klingscale. They brought in a couple former players. They brought in a really, really young staff, and they're really trying to hit the area hard, and I think Klingscale really fits in well with all that.
Yeah, and there's part of this that I told myself this whole time, like, why would you want to join Jim Harbaugh's staff?
Because he's about to get fired, right.
Sitting on the hot seat. And, yes, that's true. Michigan is flatlined, if not trending downward, whereas Kentucky, they've got a lot of offseason momentum right now. You would think you would want to stay on that train. But there is something to the guy that he's replacing got a head coaching job at Buffalo. You see headlines, hires former Michigan assistant quite a bit. That feels like a place that a lot of schools, they'll sell themselves on. Well, this guy coached at Michigan.
Yeah.
He's got to be good. And no matter what, no matter where you are in present time and place, and you could consider Kentucky ahead of Michigan in a certain college football pecking order, just the name. Brands carry a lot of weight in college football. A lot of guys move up. And as you said, the kind of upward mobility weren't trending in the right direction. And I would say another thing, too, about Klingscale, guys who are head coaches that specialize at a certain spot, the coaches that coach that spot aren't getting that much credit. So, like, we had SEC Mike on here last summer. We'll probably have him on again this summer when he's grading his coaches. And when he was grading defensive coordinators, Brad White didn't get a good grade because he's given Mark Stoops a lot of credit for UK's defense. Same thing applies for secondary coach. Mark Stoops is a secondary specialist, so we tend to overlook Klingscale's responsibility and role in developing UK's pass defense and to finishing first in the SEC for the last 2 years. So as good as Kentucky's been to him, it makes sense both professionally and personally with his kid finishing up school in Lexington to go ahead and make the move to a place where he's recruited well at UK. He's recruited well in Michigan from UK. Imagine what he can do at Michigan. I'm sure that's what he's telling himself.
Right. It's setting up for Michigan, how they can really clean up in-state recruiting, which has kind of been an issue for them for a while now. But yeah, you talk about Stoops being kind of a DB guru, it's like being Dan Mullen's quarterback coach.
Yeah.
You're only going to get, especially if you're not the defensive coordinator, he's just, you're down the, you're down the food chain a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get credit. And I think his recruiting work has really strengthened. He's not only has he built this thing in Michigan, he's got some relationships going in Nashville now that are starting, that were starting to pay off for Kentucky, and will pay off for Michigan, because that's an area they tried to hit pretty hard on the recruiting trail. Miles Pollard is a guy from Nashville, defensive back, top 500 prospect. Right now, it seems like it's Michigan and Kentucky.
Yep.
And so, like, they're going to have to recruit against Clink Skell right away for that kid, I would imagine.
Yep.
So
similar to whenever LeBlanc, UK was recruiting against Arkansas for quite a few defensive linemen that year afterwards, just because he had started that at Kentucky and then moved on. Like, I think Arkansas was a finalist for Justin Rogers, if I'm not mistaken. So
mm-hmm.
that will be the case. I will say, in the case where, because, you know, Clink, we haven't even mentioned all of his recruiting successes at length. Rogers is obviously the big one, highest ranked UK signee in the internet era. Marquon McCall was a big get. He was the highest ranked player in the state of Michigan at the time of his commitment. Of course, once you leave the state, the recruiting services are going to knock you down. You can't, come on, you can't have the highest ranked player in the state going to
Kentucky. Yeah.
But not only those guys, but DeAndre Squires, I mean, I don't know technically what he is. He's a four-year starter in my eyes.
Well, the caliber of recruit they were getting from Michigan was just higher than these other areas. Like, they were in on a lot of, like, top 500, top 600 type kids.
Mm-hmm.
Your guys like Ernest Sanders, who we haven't really seen much of, DeAndre Buford,
mm-hmm.
DeAndre Square was in that category, Justin Rogers. They were in the running for a five-star. Yeah, Jeremy Flax. They were in the running for the Deron Payne, that defensive tackle, five-star, ended up going to Alabama.
Rayshon Benny, four-star, ended up at Michigan State.
Right. And then in this class, there's a handful of guys that they were in on. They grabbed one in Caldwell, mm-hmm. but there's others, Christian Rapley, and there's like two or three others right there. So there was a higher caliber of recruit that they were hitting on in Michigan. And that made a good chunk of some of these classes, and that's going to be missed, because what you're going to replace that with is maybe going into the South more.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, taking more swings on some kids in, you know, the Atlanta area, but you're that maybe the fourth or fifth tier in that area. So you're really going to have to
hit
the development part of it, right?
Like your Devontae Rosses. This right. is where you're going to see Anwar Stewart is going to have to step up.
Yeah, it's a big moment for Anwar, I think. I think that was the first person or first kind of thing I thought about today was, well, if he can get going, like he's gotten a couple here in Atlanta lately.
Yeah.
And if you can depend on him getting, let's just say, 3 to 4 guys a class out of Atlanta, that'd be huge. But it also, I think, for Vince Merrill, it's going to – he's going to have to get more Ohio more. We've seen the last couple classes not be super all in on Ohio because Kentucky is producing 5, 6, 7 players.
Mm-hmm.
Now the onus might be on him to go in and dig into Ohio more, unless you get somebody that can come in and recruit Michigan. And we'll have to see how that shakes out.
And I think to your point about the high caliber players in Michigan, you've just got to find the high caliber guys elsewhere.
There was a void there, I thought, that Kentucky kind of took advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan kind of
Michigan scuffing State their was feet. Really down.
Michigan State was a mess. Yeah. The Big Ten schools were not really a threat in that area for whatever reason, or a huge threat outside of Penn State. And then Tennessee kind of flirted, went up there and got some kids every once in a while, but they weren't huge. There was just an opening there, and I think Kentucky took advantage. Now that could be closing now that Mel Tucker's year two, he's starting to get his stuff together there. And then Clink Skell in Michigan, plus all those staff changes Michigan's made. Like I've talked about, the hiring that high school coach from, I believe, it's Ron Bellamy's his name. I think he coached at Belleville, maybe, or not Belleville, West Bloomfield, where Maxwell Harrison came from.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're going to get some other high profile guys, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Stewart doing, I think Summerall is going to be swinging for the fences a lot in the South. I know Mike Williams seems like, is one.
That seems like that.
They're telling Summerall, all right, we need you to focus on big fish. Stewart might get some cleanup and kind of go for some developmental guys. But the area that Quink was starting to get into that can really, like, you talk about filling a void in the recruiting trail. Tennessee right now, they're hitting it. They're hitting it hard. They're hitting it well. You saw the Wade twins. You mentioned Pollard. I think they also started recruiting a quarterback that is a year younger recently. That's from the
Trevon Ripka was from the area. Adrian Huey.
Right. So now, at least in the Wade twins, I know some people like are worried. Well, if Kling's gone, then all of his recruits will leave too, because he does have 3 4-star guys committed: Jeremiah Caldwell from Belleville and the Wade twins. I wouldn't be surprised if Caldwell says sayonara. Especially he was earlier on, he didn't take any visits. But for the Wade twins, I do know that in the last, I don't know, month or two, Brad White and Liam Cohen got heavily involved in that.
The position coaches, right?
Yeah, they got heavily involved in those. So I don't think that just because their first recruiter left that those guys are going to be going anywhere. So knock on wood, because I have been kind of a jinx. I said on Monday I thought Clink was going nowhere. But I do think that those guys are pretty locked up.
I think Caldwell's probably the one to keep an eye on. Who they get, who takes over his recruitment and all that. The Michigan thing, obviously. That's going to be one to keep an eye. That was going to be one I thought that would have let that Kentucky – like a flip was possible and there could have been some drama late because of what you said, and didn't take any visits, kind of recruited or kind of committed pretty early.
Yeah. Early before, and during COVID, you know, whenever recruiting was being extra weird. So,
right. So it's just going to be interesting to see how just the recruiting plan, what the plan is moving forward. A lot of it's going to be with this new guy coming in. Now, do they try to get into the Carolinas more? They've dipped into South Carolina some in the past. Mm-hmm. Do they go, like, I think more, there's going to be more of an emphasis put on Ohio is what it seems like to me, or at least that would be the plan. But the Nashville area, that I'm glad you brought that up. The only thing I would say, the difference between that and Detroit was just, I think the competition is just a lot more fierce there in Nashville. Because whenever a top 100 prospect is in there, Clemson is all over it. And then you'll have Ohio State come through, Alabama, if they think somebody's good enough, Georgia, if they think somebody's good enough. Georgia's got a top 100 running back. From, I believe, Murfreesboro in the 2022 class. And then you got schools like Oklahoma and Michigan the last few years have really been hitting that hard. So it's just tougher competition there in Nashville. Yeah, if you could get somebody with some roots and some connections there, because Tennessee is retooling big time. So there obviously is a void there, but the competition's tougher. I think that Detroit area, I think we're going to see it over these next 3 years, how good it was to Kentucky, because I think most of those guys that came from there are going to end up being good players for Kentucky. So if you could keep some type of presence in there, I think it would be worth it. But you have to go out and see who's available, which the timing of hiring an assistant right now.
Yeah, not great.
It's just not great. I mean, Michigan had to do it, and Buffalo just had to hire a head coach, and Kansas just had to hire a head coach. But the timing is not great right now. We're like 100 days from the season kicking off.
Right. And that's what we need to get to next is where does Kentucky go from here? Because obviously it's a significant void. I think if Vince Merrill wasn't a part of the equation, we would be considering Steve Klingscale one of the best recruiters to ever be at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
So
the trio of him and Summerall and Klingscale and Merrill,
they pretty much accounted for all of the recruiting classes.
Well, that was probably the best this program's ever had, bar none, I would imagine.
And you had a nice solid two-year window with those all three in-house. But moving forward, of course, the recruiting part is the thing that we're going to hit on in particular, but we can't overlook the fact that UK's had 4 defensive backs drafted in the last 3 years, and they've got to find 2 new starters this year. Obviously, you feel good about Carrington Valentine and Cedric Dortz played a lot of football for you, but you still have to get new starters. Like there is some retooling that's going to be required from this new coach. Now, where do you go? As you said, this is a terrible time to try to find a coach to hire. We did the coaching carousel stuff. I feel like we haven't talked about that in 2 months. You know, that was February. That was early March. Like that's
that even ran late.
Yeah, this year. Ship sailed long ago, and that was and that took a while, relatively right. speaking. So finding somebody in mid-May is going to be difficult. So what Stoops is going to have to do is either A, find somebody elsewhere that he's got some connections to, that he's worked with previously, who maybe is in some sort of quality control role or is doesn't have as many responsibilities that would want to move up, or B, hire from within somebody that's in a quality control role that can move up. And Greg Minuski, he's a guy that has been an NFL defensive coordinator. He certainly has the chops. He's got the tools to be an SEC assistant. He has not been a secondary coach, though. I think right. you do have Bufano, but Stoops, come on, Wicked, let's be honest here. Stoops is going to do a lot of coaching on the field. You've been in these practices. Dude's over there. He's with the DBs during individual periods. It's what he does. He's always, mm-hmm. no matter who's coaching there, he's going to be over there. The difference is he needs somebody he can trust yeah. in the meeting rooms. And Minuski doesn't check those boxes. Maybe there's somebody else out there that does check those boxes on the support staff. So I think that's a very plausible route because he's done it before and they're kind of in a pinch right now.
For both sides on this, like, I think if they both could go back and do it again, Mike Stoops would probably be here right now.
Yeah.
Because the whole thingamajig happened with him at Texas. He had to settle for the Florida Atlantic defensive coordinator spot, which isn't a bad spot to be, but that's probably not what he envisioned. And you need to coach now.
USA, man. Like, that's tough to be right. defensive coordinator in that league.
Yeah, and now he now Kentucky still needs a safeties coach, and you know, they gave it, for a long time we thought it was going to be him. And yeah. so now I was just thinking about that today. I was like, man, just a year ago, if it even was a year, that was all going on. But yeah, it's a tough spot. I mean, that's why Mark Stoops paid a lot of money to figure out mm-hmm. who to hire, who to comb through. It's an attractive position because you look at what Klingsell just did with it. You know, and the secondary coach before him is Ansley, yeah. Derek Ansley, who's had a lot of success, is now the defensive backs coach for the Chargers up in the NFL. That's another guy I maybe think you might want to call to see if he has any interest in coming to college, but I doubt he would leave for an NFL job for that, especially this late in the process.
Well, and when he's been at DC, you know, mm-hmm. He was making almost $1 million last year at Tennessee. But some other names that were floated out there, Jonathan Cooley was a GA at UK in Klink's first year and even the year before.
Under Stoops, yeah.
Yeah, he's had pit stops in the MAC, I think at Kent State and at Akron, and he's currently with the LA Rams. So,
yeah, and he's Chattanooga one year. I think he went FCS, MAC, and then he's right. in some type of off-field role or some support staff role with the Saints, or not the Saints, the Rams right now.
So there's some comfort there where
– yeah, familiarity, right. Yeah, young guy, important. Fast riser, it seems like.
Yeah, not necessarily the recruiting experience you would want, though, but not a bad stopgap measure. And I think that's important that – I think we've mentioned that, but getting a long-term guy for the spot, I don't know if that's even possible right now. You know, I mean – you kind of had to do that with Bufano when you promoted him. He was kind of a stopgap. I don't know if you're going to be able to get a guy that checks that recruiting box is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know who's out there, who he could possibly have a chance to get. All we know is the timing is just, it's just weird timing. Some of these assistant hires, I can come up with a list right quick. Oh, this mm-hmm. this one makes sense. This one makes sense. I can see this one. But this one, it's just hard to see. I'm not going to lie. It's just hard to see what they're going to do at this late in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these hires have moved pretty fast this late. Buffalo hired Linguist pretty fast. Kansas hired, they're not really super fast, but they once they zoomed in on Munkin and Leipold, it happened pretty quickly. And now – well, you know, you would have to imagine Stoops is going to want to move pretty fast. I mean, it's May 11th. In a month is when the visits really start rocking and rolling. And so you'd like to get a new guy in here, at least let him have a couple weeks to kind of reach out and build up a relationship and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and also, like for like this is vacation time, you know.
Stupid. Yeah, this is right.
When do they do those? The spring meetings? That's like they all go down to Destin for a week and just hang out.
Yeah. Well, these are the 2 weeks the coaches usually have off.
Yeah.
Especially with a new calendar. Right after spring ball, school's over. The kids go home for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the players kind of start trickling back in June. The rest of the freshmen arrive in June. And then, you know, the visit circuit and the camp circuit all gets kicked off in June. It's where it really starts getting busy again. And then they have like a week there in July where they take off before camp starts. But yeah. It's definitely just very, very interesting timing for sure.
Yeah. And I would add that like part of not only is it poor timing, but I'm going to be completely honest. Like I did the thing where I started talking and I just completely blanked out. Sometimes I start a sentence and I don't know what I'm going to say. That was the case right there. Shout out to Michael Scott, The Office. There's one guy that we talked about off air that you sounded enticing. I know Justin Rowland mentioned, is it Tyler Robinson? Tavares Robinson from Miami. Yeah, that seems like a pipe dream. But one guy on Georgia's staff that you mentioned, his name's come up previously, and that one makes sense as well.
Yeah, his name's John Jancic. He was in a support staff role for Kentucky in 2017. If you go back to some of those press conferences, Nick, Stoops kind of went out of his way to like throw his name in every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before then, he was the defensive coordinator for the first 3 years of the Butch Jones era at Tennessee, and then he worked with him at Cincinnati before then. He went to Colorado State to be Bobo's DC 1 year after being on Kentucky staff. And then, of course, Mike Bobo got fired there.
Right.
And so he's on Kirby's support staff with Will Muschamp and a few others there.
Support staff at Kirby's right. Accumulated down there in Athens.
So that could, you know, obviously he's got familiarity with the staff. If that's something they wanted to do, I could see that. He's from Michigan. Now, I talked about before how Tennessee kind of recruited the Michigan area before. I'd have to do some digging, but I do remember a running back. I think his name was John Kelly. He was from Detroit and went to Tennessee, and I think they got some other guys there when Butch first got there. So maybe that's something that they take a look at. But, yeah, I mean, that's one name that popped up. But, like I said, you're really kind of grasping for straws on this. And what the Stoops hires recently, we haven't even been close. No one has. Like, no one had John Settle.
No.
No one had Bufano at any point.
Nope.
Now, even Liam Cohen came out of left field.
Yeah, we just had the wrong Rams assistant.
Yeah.
Everybody had the wrong Rams assistant. The last one where we nailed it was it was an Adam Luckett joint with John Summerall. And that's
been That was the last one. We hit on, I would say. I think we were first on that one.
But aside from that, figuring out where this is going to go is difficult. I would expect it to be wrapped up I know like officially it takes a while, but we might be getting reports of it within 2 weeks because I do think that, so it's May 11th, 2 weeks from today is May 25th. We're going to get that thing wrapped up before Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
Give yourself a little bit of time to exhale because they're going to have kids on campus in June. UK announced their dates for football camps. And the big ones, they've made them Sunday showcase camps, which I selfishly like. Sunday afternoon's kind of easy. The Friday night thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough. Sundays make it easy for guys to travel from out of town. And it'll
stay
make
for
it,
a day. Look at the campus. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a full day out of it. So it'll be good for recruiting purposes. And we'll be in the building for the 6th and the 13th. Those are the big recruiting showcase camps. Hopefully, aside from just the average Joe, you know, the big guys who are standing around, like Keontae Goodwin, he's a big guy that's just going to show up and kind of hang out, you know, like.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do some face studying on some of the recruiting photos.
Oh, you're just going to, it's so hilarious. Like sitting in those camps and you think that like, if you're looking at somebody, the kids are probably like, man, I bet they're typing so many notes on how good we're playing. No, we're just trying to Google who the hell you are.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that should be an exciting time. Going to be a big month of June. If you want to register for those camps, ukfbcamp.com. That's where all the details, registration. In addition to those Sunday showcase camps, which are open to high school kids, they've also got day camps. They got specialist camps. So something for everybody to be able to play. And I will say the day camps aren't as, like, from recruiting purpose, like, you know, a lot of it's just more skill development for all range of talent. But, like, that's where De'Aaron Jackson earned his offer. Kids go there, they jump out, and they get offered. So anything is possible. And I think I know one kid that'll want to be there. And that was the big news from last night, where Mr. Football, co-Mr. Football, excuse me, Cameron Hergett announced he's running it back for one more year. He's taking advantage of SB 128 that allows kids to make up for the lost year. And like, it, when this award initially was, or not award, but when this law was initially passed, I was thinking to myself, who in the hell would want to spend an extra year of their life in high school? And I love my time in high school. I talk way too much about my time in high school. I talk way too much about the sales. Loved it to death. But I would, you know, those are my guys my senior year. I'd want to end it with them. We ended the state championship game. We didn't get a win, but I wouldn't want to play for another team. He got the win. First time they've won in Class 2A state title. They won Mr. Football. You'd think he'd want to ride out on top. But this is a case where I actually think the rule benefits him a lot, because sadly, the state of affairs we're in, the recruiting camps matter more from a talent evaluation, college recruiting aspect than just the tape and the accolades, because it's Class 2A Kentucky football. So
right. I think that's the more important part right there, is just the level of competition.
Yeah. Coaches aren't going to trust. So he only had a couple preferred walk-on offers. He was like, you know what? I'll take this one at Akron and try to work myself up. But you mean to tell me I could run it back and use all of these, I can go show up to camp as Kentucky Mr. Football, which is that award? That award's for seniors only, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So this will be the first time we've ever had a repeat winner, which is pretty wild. Yeah. But I mean, he's going to have eyeballs on him no matter which camp he goes to, and I'm sure he'll attend a ton of them this summer.
Yeah. It's a crazy story. That's like a high school movie thing. You see the first fifth year senior or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting strategy for him to do that. I guess that this is how football is just so much different than basketball. Basketball, and like something like this, you could go to like a prep school for a year.
Yes.
Whereas football, you know, there used to be Fork Union in those military academies, but I don't even think those are sort of a thing anymore.
Isn't there a Georgia one that's pretty big?
Yeah, but I thought it was Georgia military, but I was thinking that was just a straight up junior college. Because Louisville's got a couple guys on their team from there.
You're right. That is just a straight junior college. So I guess JUCO.
Right. JUCO's about the only thing you can. Yeah. JUCO sucks.
You know,
one-stop shop. Right.
Yeah.
That's what he was looking at. I could either, you know, do that, or I can try my hand at these camps.
Yeah.
It's going to be something I think worth monitoring this season.
Because I feel like I do think that in most instances it helps a guy like him more than it helps, you know, Johnny Smith, just average guy out there. Like,
your random offensive guard at North Shore High School. Yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing. I did the victory lap. Most people do the victory lap in college. The victory lap, It's fine, you know, like, you're taking things more seriously. College isn't as wild, but you still get to dabble in the college every once in a while. Most of your friends are still hanging around town. They don't have their career jobs yet, but they got jobs. So, you know, like, that's not bad. But for semantics reasons, I had to stick around for another semester. It was stupid and unnecessary, but I had to do another semester. And that stunk. You don't need that. That extra time being, like, you're just ready to get on and move on with your life. And I think if somebody who you know, is just the third or fourth best guy on the team, thinks that they're going to stick around and be the best guy on the team, and all of a sudden they're a star, like, you're just wasting a year of your life. So I hope that these decisions are crafted carefully, because I mean, man, sitting around in high
school. Well, that's what this sounds like. That is that there's definitely, it seems like a plan here.
Right, right. Whereas, like if you would have, what would have happened if you would have stuck around for another year at St. X? Like, oh, you'd go and lose to Trinity again and be the starting center.
Why? I would have pushed them over the top in the state championship game. They lost in overtime that year. If they would have had me, we probably would have.
Yeah, you would have
been a little better in those short yardage situations.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. But like, yeah. So that's. Yeah, we lost to Holy Cross the year after I left. That was embarrassing. First and last time that'll ever happen.
Yeah, my junior year, and then the year after I left, we were undefeated. Like, St. X hadn't had an undefeated season since, like, 75. We were both undefeated, and both of us lost to Trinity after beating them in the regular season in the state championship game.
Damn Bob Beatty. Brutal.
Absolutely not brutal. That sad to see him go, for sure.
Uh-oh, like it. I've got some breaking news. Breaking news! Oh! This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement, and there's the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. The new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code ROUSH at manscaped.com. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin safe technology is so good that it's almost as if Manscaped work with Elon Musk engineers to ensure that your nether regions are as safe as possible. You know what makes this different than any of the other trimmers? They got a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, created for people who like to travel, so your thing ain't buzzing in your bag whenever it gets bumped while you're on the run. The Lawnmower 4.0 also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. The new trimmer allows you to customize your trim with guard length sizes 1 through 4, and looks-wise, it's sleek with two-tone matte and gloss finish that even features a hot foil stamp, black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. It's got wireless charging. It has everything you need. And like, it was great the other day. I was multitasking. So I had an old trimmer trimming my hair while the wife used the Manscaped lawnmower to trim the back hair. Cause you know, it's getting hot out this summer. You gotta keep it nice and clean. Gotta be light on your toes. Nimble, agile. Man. So great for multitasking, having a couple different trimmers around, but the Manscaped trimmer is by far the best one you will find out and about. Optimized trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess everywhere else you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ROUSH at manscaped.com. That's right, 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code ROUSH. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Look it, Coach Klink wasn't the only big time news in the last week. We got to mention some bad news with from the assistant coaching ranks, where Javon Bonite, he was arrested for DUI over the weekend in Northern Kentucky in Kenton County, pulled over to a 92 and a 65 on I-75 near the bypass. And the details of the incident are troubling. Not only is it, oh, there's a half empty bottle of vodka, slurred words, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. So I don't really know what this means for his future, but Coach Klink might not be the only guy who's on his way out the door.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how this plays out. Obviously, the report, I think, came out, and yeah, it wasn't, you know, not what he should be doing, for sure.
No. Very, very disturbing. Luckily, no one was hurt in the incident. He also pulled the classic SEC, where instead of asking for a lawyer, he was asking for the Lexington police. It's not a great look either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he'll probably be in a little bit of trouble for that.
Yeah. And it's also a thing, too, that I think in any sort of DUI case. It's never going to be a, you know, unless you're Tubby Smith and it's 2000 and it's Desmond Allison, there isn't some sort of, you know, one-time rule, blanket firing no matter what. But when you've got an incident like Marco Shimwell 2 years ago and Mitch Barnhart is staunchly anti-alcohol, this guy's only been here a year. He doesn't have a lot of goodwill built up. I wouldn't be shocked if Bo Knight's on his way out the door.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, what are these assistant contracts? 2 years?
Yeah.
So he's entering a big prove it year.
And this is how he's starting it.
So obviously, yeah, you don't, that this is not the best way to go about this. So obviously that's in there. Now, like, you know, you should not drink and drive.
No.
But, you know, there, if a player got a DUI, that I don't, like, in the past when Mitch was here, Matt Roark was suspended for one game. And so it's not like that you shouldn't do it, but I don't think it's a total 100% slam dunk fireable offense is right. I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like people can get a second chance with a DUI. It shouldn't be lock them up and throw away the key.
Right. But like you said, it's definitely not a good look for the receivers coach entering what is a big season.
Right. But, you know, that's the thing. We're going to have to wait and see how the situation unfolds. Stoops has yet to comment on it. And just kind of playing the waiting game because, like we said, timing for hiring a new assistant coach, it's not great right now. So would not be ideal if that's what they were doing.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get fired.
Okay.
But I definitely could see them looking for a receiver coach in December.
Now, look at you have been hard at work because, you know, things are a little bit slow. We had spring practice come to a close. So you've been thoroughly going through the depth chart. As in, like, let's pick apart every single player, essentially. And I have a feeling that you might be naming a few players who might not be here. Lewis entered the portal. Luckily, right before it. Nick Lewis, by the way, a guy who I always wanted to see do well. I was happy to hear he lost a ton of weight last year. But he was kind of the Walker Wood, Jedrick Wills kind of recruit where he went to the same school as Mac Jones. He was a developmental project, but they've recruited well at offensive tackle, and he'll probably end up dominating at some directional Florida school.
I could see USA kind of beating up in his future.
Right.
But yeah, I think that was more, I think, one, Jeremy Flack kind of taking ownership of that right tackle spot. And then I would say DeAndre Buford, they probably feel pretty comfortable with him.
Yeah.
Right now.
So not a huge loss, but I'm curious when you're going through, I don't know where you started or where you want to start. But now, you know what? Let's start with quarterback because I do feel like I love that as like Michael Bennett was trying to start some stuff as you tweeted that out. And I loved it. I love it. So Luckett, let's put up your dukes. Just to set the stage, I'm going to give you the floor. Adam Luckett tweets, the Kentucky quarterback position is wide open. The competition is open for business. And within a few hours, he subtweeted the hell out of you too. It was directed right at you. It said, Michael Bennett tweeted, don't be confused if the quarterback – this is Joey Gatewood's job. I don't have the exact verbiage in front of my face, but he's like, Will Levis Schmevis. Gatewood is the starter. Close case. You heard it here first, folks. Shut him down.
From where I'm sitting and from stuff I've heard, like this quarterback competition does not start until Levis gets on campus. So, like, the spring was fine for install and all that, but it starts with when he gets, like, Gatewood has to beat him out. Like, I think he's the favorite. I think Liam Cohen went out and got him for that reason to be the team starting quarterback. And so, like, I think what the spring gave us is that I think it's a competition now. Before, I thought it was just the writing was kind of on the wall.
Yeah, walk 'em, drop 'em, sop 'em.
It's now I do think it's going to be a competition. I still think Levis is going to be the quarterback, but that the competition does not start until that guy gets on campus here in the next couple weeks. And then we'll start to hear, you know, scuttlebutt, this and that, and then they'll go through camp, and then we'll see how they handle it at the end of camp.
Now, if Michael Bennett is correct, and he's stating what we've been stating since
they're bringing in, like,
that right. if Kentucky had to play a football game on Saturday, Joey Gatewood would be the starter. But Kentucky's absolutely not playing a football game right on Saturday. You cannot rule out the guy that the offensive coordinator handpicked to bring in to lead his offense. Now, Joey Gatewood he changed my mind. He surprised me. I thought if anybody was going to come out of the spring, ready to challenge Levis, it might be Bo Allen, but Gatewood rose to the occasion. He took to the coaching, and he's made it to where this fall is going to be exciting. But the quarterback competition's wide open in a good way, and that's a good thing.
It should be.
And can I also like it? I know you're new to the Big J world. Okay, you've only been a Big J for a few months now. Michael Bennett is also relatively new to the Big J world, and he's trying even more to be a Big J, a Big Scoop guy. You don't need a Big J to be a Big J to know that if you're in radio, shutting down a quarterback competition in May just takes away all of your summer radio. It's bad business.
Speaking of Michael Bennett, OVW, where they did the little draft with all the celebrities journalistic celebrities.
I have not seen the promo he's cut.
Well, yeah, because it's like a 4-tweet thread OVW had. There's like 32 of them. It is worth the 5-6 minutes it takes to watch it. I mean, from start to finish, it is good.
Good. All right, I'm going to have to check it out. The one thing that stinks about being a cord cutter is that all of those air on WBNA. Hell, I used to have a weekly show on WBNA and could never watch it.
Yeah,
you got to like hook up an antenna.
I'm trying to think of,
but yeah,
there's some in there. Like they got Big Easy from the Road Rules was on there. That was the first time I think I've seen him in about 7 years. They got Woo was good.
Yeah,
Marrow was good. It was very, very good.
Oh man, that's the hijinks. I also want to shout out our boss too, staying on brand, that his first job as wrestling owner is we're going to make a bracket. Very on brand.
Stick with what you know.
Exactly. That's like you go to a bar with Adam Luckett, you're getting Bud Light.
Light, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to mention too, before we get out of here, I wanted to give you the floor too to go through some more of what you did when examining some of the offensive personnel at the conclusion of spring practice.
Yeah. One thing is just the numbers of wide receiver. They have so many bodies there. And it's really but then they have a lack of bodies at tight end. But I could see them using the tight end as much as the receiver. So how all that kind of shakes out, I think it's going to be real interesting to watch. These newcomers that come in, specifically, I think Christian Lewis, is he ready to play right away? Mike Drennan, with the loss of Cleavon Thomas, like there's an opening for him, and he probably needs to jump on it. This is probably his chance. He probably needs to jump on that right now. I mean, I think the offensive line is in a really good spot. The tackle depth is a little bit of a concern. We don't know what's the deal with Nasir Watkins.
Right.
But inside they should feel fine. But the center, we heard snapping issues. So obviously that's something to keep an eye on. But really, I think running back, you really need to find a second answer. But Rodriguez is the workhorse. If you could just find somebody behind him, I think you're going to feel good. Lavelle Wright, maybe a guy we need to pay a little bit closer attention to, I think, this fall camp.
I could see him kind of being like McClain was a year ago, where he's getting the special teams kind of reps in and playing in spots here and there, but not necessarily getting a lot. I'm curious if McClain, because Eddie loved Jatan so much, I don't know what Settle's thoughts are and how well Smoke's taken to it. Like, because I do think that as much as folks love Smoke and how explosive he can be,
he was woefully inefficient last year.
Right, right. I mean, it was really home run.
Plus, on top of the lack of durability, 2 years in a row, he's had to battle through injuries.
So I don't, you know, I could very well see Settle siding with McClain. We saw a lot of stuff in McClain just in the spring tape, even though we didn't get much. So I think there's a lot there. And to your initial point about the receivers and tight ends, that's the thing I think I missed the most out of this camp, aside from not getting to watch the quarterbacks and break down every one of the throws during the spring game. Just the balance of, you know, personnel. Like, are they doing 11 or 12? You would think that you would have Upshaw and Rigg in more often than you would have Wandale Ali in the third receiver.
The Rams were fourth most distribution-wise in 12 personnel last year in the NFL. And I see that probably staying the same. I worry because they just the lack of bodies, but I don't see how they aren't in that a lot.
It's wild.
Especially with some of the stuff he wants to do in the run game. Like, I think Brendan Bates low-key is going to have a big part of this offense. It's kind of like the glorified H-back. Mm-hmm. / fullback for the offense on some of these runs they're going to do. I think he could have a big, big role. And I could see where they could just use Upshaw as an X receiver. Like, if they can't find a receiver, just use him at X. And then you can have Wanda on the slot and then Ali at Z or vice versa, whatever you're trying to do.
Well, and it's also a thing that even though he might be initially reluctant to do it just because, you know, receivers want to be receivers. I could see him kicking Trayvon Morgan down to tight end and be like, hey, look, tight ends get the ball more anyway. Better chance at playing time. I could see that happen. He's got the build for it. I mean, he's a big SOB who, as one guy described him, like one of his strengths was that blocking. Maybe the best thing he did.
If that's true, defenses, even if Kentucky lists him out as a wide receiver, that don't mean they're going to treat it as 11 personnel. They get still treated as 12. With how they try to match up with it because of its size. If they're not worried about his speed or matching up with him on the outside, if he's lined up, they can just stay in base. However they want to match up with, you know, 12, they'll probably consider it 12 and not 11.
Well, and that's one thing that I admittedly, like I wish I went back and rewatched more tape, but part of it's just you get busy doing the regular grind football stuff. But the amount of stuff you can do motioning guys just in and out of the slot to mess with teams. I mean, with these bodies, you should be able to do a lot. And I think that's just what we missed out most is getting a better glimpse at what that can do and how it can create mismatches. Yeah. So that's why I'm pumped to hear Liam Cohen's going to be on KSR on Friday. I really want him to just try his best to confuse the hell out of Matt at a certain point, you know, like really just get into the football junkie kind of stuff. Because I know he does have that. Like, I mean, that's what he does.
Hey, maybe we set the table for him. So now he's walking in thinking, like, oh, these guys, they're really dialed in. Like, they're watching, they're crunching tape and they have personnel distribution charts going on. And
hey, you know what? Maybe one day, Liam likes you. Maybe we'll get him on the show and it'll be an Adam Luckett request.
We can just have a chalk talk.
Yeah. It'll just be you two guys just going over scheme X's and O's and stuff. But hey, it's a month of May. I did not anticipate, I was anticipating getting into summer radio on this show. But you know, unfortunately you've got a coaching vacancy. So I would like to think that Stoops want to get this puppy wrapped up for Memorial Day. But yeah, 2 weeks time. And you know what? I'm not going to pretend to act like we're going to know exactly where he's going to go with this hire either. You know, I'm not going to play you all as the fool.
You know, I like to consider myself sometimes an expert on some of the stuff, but even Stoops the last few times, I haven't even been close.
Yeah.
I had some areas I thought he might go and it's just been different. I could have did all kinds of research and I never would have got to his name thinking that he would even be a chance to leave Wisconsin for Kentucky. So we'll see. I mean, get Jimmy Sexton on the line, make some calls. We'll see what you can do.
Oh man. Well, listen, we appreciate to all of you all for listening to us. This has been an exciting edition of Live in Personnel. If you want to support the show, need to trim up that back hair or any other hair, hit up Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping by using the code Roush at manscaped.com. Big thanks to listening. If y'all want some more football talk, Vince Mero is going to be on KSR on Wednesday, Liam Cohen on Friday. I'll be hanging out with Freddie Maggard on the Depth Chart podcast. Football never stops in the Bluegrass anymore.
24/7, 365 sport now.
Hey, and the Preakness Stakes Saturday.
I know you all got all kinds of grimy stuff going on in the horse racing industry.
Oh, you Mr. College Football talking grimy over here.
I love it. I love it, man. Baffert has turned, he's like Dan Mullen. He just turned into like a Dan Mullen heel overnight.
he really reminds me more of Patino than anything. Just kind of talking out of his ass, you know, like, which I love. I love it. Now, I love to crack jokes about it. You know, his wife wasn't too happy with me after I did that, but you know, it happens. Hey,
how old is How old is his wife? I know you're not supposed to ask that, but
she's not that old. She's pretty young.
How old is Baffert?
He's looked the same since 1995. So he was a kid in I bet he's.
I'm looking it up right now.
He's probably like 62. I would guess.
I was thinking he's older than that. I guess because he's been around so long.
He's looked the same since 1995, though. I guess 7 is when he won it with Silver Charm, which when I was 68. A kid, that was my favorite horse.
He's 68. That sounds about right. I was going to say 70, 71.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I, like, with all of this Baffert stuff, as much as I love him, you know, just – rambling off and spouting off nonsense, it really does draw more people. Like, having characters like Baffert are great for the sport.
Oh yeah, for no doubt.
They are great, but he is unlike Patino, he's a hands-off guy. How do you not have a vet that just doesn't know banned substances or not? Like, come on,
he dude. Just got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and then just he didn't shut his mouth. His mouth got him in trouble. That's all it was.
Getting caught with his hand in the cookie jar too. It's like, dude, stop it. You don't need to. You have good horses. Cut it out. Either way, it's going to be one of the most well-watched Preakness Stakes of all time. I'll be tuning in, trying to win some money back. And until then, I'm going to be in the paddock just every Thursday in perpetuity. So if y'all want to come hang out, come say hey. My son's going to be running around like a wild child for dollar beers. Dollar blue moons too, like it. It's the good stuff. Although it don't go down.
Is it the night stuff at the track started? Is that what this is?
Yeah, 5 to 8 every Thursday. They got races. Okay. So I'll see you out there Thursday. Okay, Luckett?
Alrighty. See what I can do.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.